Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. As veterans separate or retire from the military, transitioning to civilian life can be hard. For their service, the U.S. federal government has the obligation to ensure that returning veterans have access to and use of hard-earned benefits that can ease this transition. With hundreds of thousands or so veterans likely to separate or retire over the coming 5 years, and many of the youngest veterans still unemployed, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs manages a portfolio of educational and job training programs and services for eligible veterans that seek to enhance their economic opportunity and successful transition. How does the VA promote employment opportunities for veterans? What is VA doing to enhance opportunities for veterans to obtain knowledge and skills to properly transition into civilian life? What programs provide opportunities for veterans to obtain, retain, and adapt at home? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. Well, Kurt, it's great to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
So before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you can give us a brief overview of the mission of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs Office of Economic Opportunity, which is part of the Veterans Benefit Administration. How has its mission evolved to date?
What's interesting, Michael, is that my office was created in 2011. And it was created principally to consolidate a number of different programs that have economic opportunity written all over them. So, for example, in my purview, I have all things GI Bill or education for veterans. We also have the Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment Service for wounded warriors and disabled veterans. We have the VA Home Loan Program, and as well things dealing with veteran employment and those issues as they relate to what we're doing today. And so the office, we like to think we have a pretty significant mission. We enable veterans to attain personal and economic success. And we do this through the foundations for veterans to succeed through the policies and programs that we have and the ones that I just mentioned. So we view the veteran relationship that we have with our veterans as active partners, and we're both accountable. So our portfolio of benefits and services are designed to enable both personal and economic success.
That is a significant mission. I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operation of your organization, the larger whole. How is it organized, and what's the size of its budget and geographical footprint?
Well, the front office of the Office of Economic Opportunity is located here in D.C. Between our D.C. office staff and business offices across the country, we have about 4,000 people located in about 56 VA regional offices across the country as well as in the Philippines. Our budget for fiscal year 2014 is a bit over $600 million, and our benefits that we pay out in round numbers is well over $12.5 billion. Just to give you a brief size and scope of the kinds of things that we're doing, so far in the last 4 years, for example, we've paid out about $35 billion in post-9/11 GI Bill benefits to about 1 million beneficiaries. We have about 800 vocational rehabilitation and employment counselors throughout the country. Our home loan program just guaranteed the 20 millionth GI Bill recipient or home loan since 1944. Those loans for the past 22 quarters have been the lowest default rate of all cohorts across the country. So you can see where veterans take their home loans and financial responsibilities very, very seriously.
So I'd like to transition to your specific role, your leadership role. Would you tell us more about your duties and responsibilities? And what are your duties and what's under your purview, really? And how does it support the overall mission of VA?
My office oversees all education benefits, so it's just not the post-9/11 GI Bill. It's those folks with the Montgomery GI Bill and a number of other different programs, some we'll get into. We also have programs for our disabled veterans or wounded warriors, a wide swath of programs that deal with them. And so we also have our home loan program. And what we like to think is all of these programs within the Office of Economic Opportunity are driving veterans toward their personal economic success. And oftentimes what that means is meaningful employment for our veterans. So what our offices do are trying to meet our strategic goal, and operations are in line with VA's overall mission of fulfilling President Lincoln's promise of caring for veterans. So the overall responsibility of oversight and guidance and leadership across those business lines are what we do in the Office of Economic Opportunity. So my specific duties, in addition to the day-to-day bureaucracy that we all government employees have to live with, I approve policy decisions. I present at multiple national stakeholder conferences and events, testifying to Congress, another whole story that's interesting, on issues that relate to our office, and coordinate new initiatives and projects, some of which I think we'll talk about today.
Absolutely. So regarding your responsibilities and duties, I was wondering, what are your, say, three top challenges you've faced in your position, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
We want to make sure that veterans are equipped with the tools they need to succeed in school. Then once veterans are enrolled in school, we want to make sure that we're providing them the resources to ensure that they continue their education and ultimately graduate. And then when they ultimately graduate, they seek and gain meaningful employment. So we're working with a number of different schools, veteran service organizations, community organizations, a wide swath of other partners to help ensure that all of our beneficiaries have that information. I'll give you a quick example. I was out in Phoenix, Arizona, giving the keynote address to the Student Veterans of America conference that they had out there. And my message to them was in World War II, the GI Bill served about 8 million veterans that came back from the war out of 16 million veterans that served. And when somebody talked about them, they talked about them as the greatest generation. And in my keynote speech to the Student Veterans of America, what I said is that you are the next greatest generation. And we believe that the veterans of today are going to be the ones that are going to be the economic engines that get the economy moving in the direction that it needs to be. Veteran employment with the Bureau of Labor Statistics that just came out the past week or so for December, for example, was an employment rate of 94.5%. I often switch those numbers. Often people say unemployment for veterans is at 5.5%. But overall, it's been on the decline in the last year or so. But it doesn't mean that we're there. You see that our focus remains on those career fields who have experienced higher rates of unemployment or who are younger. I'll give you a quick demographic, for example. 80% of those veterans who are unemployed, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, are over the age of 35. And so we can't forget that those programs are also important for those veterans that are over that age group. For those that are more intense barriers to employment or maybe at risk for homelessness, we dedicate additional resources and funds across the United States, including specifically targeting intervention and training programs for them. I think probably the third piece of that would be is trying to work very, very hard in strengthening partnerships both inside the government and out. The bottom line is, as I tell people, we can't do it alone, and we don't want to do it alone. We can't tackle these challenges ourselves entirely. So we have placed significant efforts in securing non-government partners to help in this economic success of veterans. And this includes employers that are pledging in to hire our veterans today.
So, Kurt, we had you on when you were at ACF in HHS and your leadership role there, and now with VA. And I'm wondering, given your experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
I think in the government, from a leadership role, you always need to be ready to make those tough decisions. I often tell people, take the blame and hand out the praise. As a leader, you're responsible for the organization. If something goes wrong, take that blame and be ready to stand up and weather that storm. But make sure that you hand out the praise when you're successful. Listen, Tommy Thompson said it in his book back when I was at HHS, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion. And I think it's critically important. smile and sometimes laugh at yourself. Sometimes you have a pretty neat title, but that doesn't mean that you can't stand back and smile and not take yourself too seriously. And I often tell people that finally sometimes it's all about the journey, not necessarily the destination. As you're doing projects and so on and so forth, the key elements of watching people evolve as you go through the journey is sometimes more important than what that end result really is.
How does the VA promote employment opportunities for veterans? We will ask Curtis Coy, Deputy Undersecretary for Economic Opportunity within the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.